From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. This weekend, the National Mall will be blanketed by the Monument Quilt, a patchwork of thousands of stories from survivors of sexual assault. The project was overseen by the Baltimore artist activist group Force, Upsetting Rape Culture. Kalima Young, part of the project's leadership team, talks about the quilt's significance, and E. Kadu, a member of Force, describes the healing process.
And I made a square that said, I will forgive those who failed to protect me, and I will protect others so they do not need to forgive. And it was a time in my life where I was reflecting on how I had come to a place where I understand myself as a survivor of rape and abuse.
It's on the record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. The stories collected by the Baltimore organization Force, Upsetting Rape Culture, and sewn together to form the Monument Quilt, stretch across the size of four football fields. These are stories by survivors of sexual and intimate partner violence. In this weekend's first and only full display of the Monument Quilt, survivors will claim the National Mall as a place of healing, and they'll challenge onlookers to think about what it will take to end rape and sexual violence. Joining me to pick up that question is Kalima Young, Ph.D., lecturer in the Department of Electronic Media and Film at Towson University. She's a member of the leadership team for the Monument Quilt. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Also here is E. Kadu, a member of the creative activist collective Force, Upsetting Rape Culture, as well as the group's youth coordinator and artist in residence. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Kalima Young, give us some of the backstory. How long has the Monument Quilt been in creation, and where did the idea come from?
So it's been a part of the Force story since 2013, but the first display, I believe, was in 2014. And so the Monument Quilt is a project that's a part of Force. Force Upsetting Rape Culture is a collective that works on ways to shift the dialogue around rape culture. A lot of the activities that Force did before the Monument Quilt was a lot of culture jamming activities. So one of the major campaigns they had in 2013 was taking over the Victoria's Secret's their fashion show, mm-hmm. and creating an entire website and line of consent underwear using Victoria's Secret's graphics and things of that nature to prompt conversations around sexual violence and rape culture and consent. But the Monument Quilt itself, this project is born out of a project that Hannah Brancato and Rebecca Nagel, who are the originators of Force, put together and came to this idea that we need to figure out a more active way to share stories around sexual violence that exists in the world.
And let me back up. What do you mean by rape culture?
The casual and not so casual and institutional and systemic ways that we as a society have conversations around consent, sexual violence, bodily autonomy, that happens in our everyday existence, ways of being and ways of thinking that make it seem as if sexual violence is okay or inevitable or something that can be passed off or it's just locker room talk. Yeah.
I mentioned, am I right, the quilt spans four football fields?
Yeah.
Tell us more about what this looks like.
Sure. So each quilt submitted by either a group of people or one person is 4 feet by 4 feet. And then that quilt square is sewn into a block that's 8 foot by 8 foot. That quilt square will then be elevated above the mall, 10 inches above the mall. So what you'll see looking down the National Mall the days of the display is an enormous number of red, vibrant, multifaceted quilts floating on the National Mall. It's going to be staggering. They're going to spell out of these 8 foot by 8 foot blocks, not alone and no estás sol. You're Not Alone in so Spanish.
The shape, the blocks will be arranged to shape those
Correct.
Letters.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. And I can't picture the elevation. Where does the elevation come from?
Sure.
Sorry.
The quilts will be elevated on tent stakes above the mall.
Yes.
We want to make a statement, but we also want to just make physical space for this conversation.
Many listeners may be familiar with the NAMES Project AIDS Memorial Quilt. What meaning do you think this form of demonstration, a quilt, adds?
This project, the Monument Quilt, is very much an homage to the NAMES Project. The NAMES Project itself is not only a project that really deals with grief in a public way, how do we grieve in a public space, but it also was about elevating the conversation and putting names to the faces of those that are just a statistic. And the Monument Quilt is very much in that same, within that very same wheelhouse, that we know that there are many survivors of sexual violence and intimate partner violence and gender-based violence in the world, but we often shape one particular narrative about who those victims are. And then the monument quilt itself is elevating the story of the diverse number of people that are touched by sexual violence and intimate partner violence, because just like during the height of the AIDS crisis, we have a crisis on our hands, and our government and institutions are not taking it seriously. And when they do take it seriously, it's one step forward, five steps back after the next administration comes into play. So I think that those two projects are really simpatico.
The quilt will be, the monument quilt will be on display Friday through Sunday. What activities are going to be happening on the mall?
So Friday, there will be a youth summit called What is Rape? A youth-led conversation about rape culture happening on the National Mall. Teens from all over the DMV are invited for a youth-only conversation and arts workshop about how rape culture affects them. One thing that we know about sexual violence is that we start learning about abuse and sexuality and love, what healthy love is, what unhealthy love is, from a very young age. And this needs to be something that we make space for, that teens have opinions and have experiences and maybe have tools to share with each other. On Friday, there will also be an opening ceremony and land acknowledgement that honors the Native peoples who are native
are
to the land.
On.
Yes, exactly. And on Saturday, we're going to have a talk by the George Washington University Textile Museum about the NAMES quilt and about the lineage of textile work as protest.
We're also going to have a national policy convening on Saturday where organizations that work on sexual violence, gender-based violence, domestic violence, intimate partner violence, are able to get together and talk about and sort of come up with, these are our policy needs around these issues.
So sort of an agenda.
An agenda, yeah. So what is our national agenda? What's our policy agenda around this? And as the quilt is on display, we also have, I'm a part of on the leadership team, we're a part of the Intentional Spaces Committee, and we create spaces within the quilt experience where people can experience many different ways of healing. So throughout the process, while the quilt is on display, there'll be tents that are for grounding for those who might be triggered by the quilt itself. There's also going to be a tent that is for people to experience healing modalities. So we're going to have acupuncturists and Reiki healers and massage there. There's an art tent for people to participate and make art to tell their stories. There's a community tent where we'll be having a lot of community learning and skill sharing going back and forth, and a learning tent as well. It really is an opportunity to elevate the conversation, but also acknowledge that these are human people behind every single one of these stories, and we're all going to be touched by it. When I think about the experience of the quilt and what we're doing, I always think about the quilt as a acupuncture needle to some extent. We have rape culture is a part of the everyday milieu that we live within, that's a part of us. And this project acts kind of like an acupuncture needle that opens it up. And often when people experience the quilt, they have moments where they can finally start putting into words experiences that they didn't understand or see as a part of rape culture. They start bringing back those memories, those half stories that are in your mind when you're experiencing it. So as a member of the Intentional Spaces team, it's our job to make sure that we are holding space for all of those interactions that happen once that acupuncture point gets touched.
That's Kalima Young, PhD, here on the record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. She's a member of the leadership team for the Monument Quilt. Also with us is E. Kadu, a member of the Artist Activist Alliance Force, Upsetting Rape Culture. We're talking about this weekend's demonstration on the National Mall, the unveiling of the Monument Quilt, a collection of 3,000 squares that share stories from survivors of rape and abuse. This quilt, made up of squares created by groups and individuals from across the country, give us a sense of the array of voices that have been included.
This quilt has traveled to 49 different locations around the country and in Mexico, partnering with groups all over the United States to address how rape culture is affecting very specific communities. One example would be pairing with Native groups who were fighting the Dollar General Supreme Court case, which was going to render tribal jurisdiction null.
This was a young Native American who had allegedly been abused.
Yes.
In a Dollar General store. Mm-hmm.
Yes, by a Dollar General employee. And because Native peoples cannot bring criminal suits against corporations, they were bringing a civil suit to Dollar General, which was brought all the way up to the Supreme Court. And if the Supreme Court had favored Dollar General, it would have
nullified tribal sovereignty.
Yes.
And made it so that they could continue not having their voices heard in the justice system.
That's not how the ruling went.
No, it is not how the ruling went, and we are very happy about that. So those quilt squares that were made in protest are part of the quilt. Quilt squares that were made in support of Marissa Alexander, a survivor who was facing 60 years for firing a warning shot at her abuser, are also part of the quilt.
And Marissa Alexander will also be our keynote speaker for the policy convening on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. We have quilt squares from Kennedy Krieger right here in Baltimore, talking about how this issue affects children, the span of ages, races, abilities, different vantage points on this issue, people even talking about ways in which they have harmed others and have been harmed.
Right. We have male survivors, LGBTQ survivors, women who have been incarcerated. So the myriad of people who are touched by sexual violence and gender-based violence are in these stories on the quilt.
Have either of you made a square?
Absolutely, yes.
You made a square?
I came into the studio to make a square maybe when I'd first moved to Baltimore. And I made a square that said, I will forgive those who failed to protect me, and I will protect others so they do not need to forgive. And it was a time in my life where I was reflecting on how I had come to a place where I understand myself as a survivor of rape and abuse, but that there were people in my life who had been a part of it, who hadn't been my assailant, but who had been a part of how I became vulnerable to that, and how maybe I hadn't forgiven them. And that was really hard to realize, that there were people close to me who I hadn't come to a place of forgiveness with. And that's something that's really powerful about the process of making a quilt square. People come to conversations with themselves about real nuances about what it means to survive abuse and to continue to form your life in a way that benefits you, in a way that maybe looks like thriving, maybe looks like doing it day to day and working toward your own version of what it means to be in healing.
I've not made a quilt square, though I am a survivor of child sexual abuse. But my, I'm not a very good quilter. But it's
not all needlework, right?
Oh, no, it's not. Oh, you just do all kinds of things, but that's just not the way that I engage with the quilt. I feel like I do my best work to serve and make spaces for what the quilt does when people are experiencing it. So
some people might think it would be re-traumatizing or depressing to work on this quilt. Is that true?
This work has the most levity within it of any work that I've ever done. Mm-hmm. Part of that is because emotional communication is part of the day-to-day of how force functions. You aren't expected to bottle things up. You aren't expected to not be in conflict with people.
You're not expected to have a perfect response.
Yes.
Right. There's no perfect survivor. There's no perfect anything. And I think that's really helpful. And I think people who make quilt squares and people who are part of the project know that and feel that too. There's a space to just be a human who has human feelings and emotions, who had something happen.
Levity is a multisyllabic word. You're talking about laughter.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I spend a lot of my time laughing with my coworkers. We have to have humor within what we do. Not necessarily about issues of abuse by any means, but we have to have humor within ourselves about our own quirks and things that are going on in our lives. So yes, there's a lot of laughter around the Force Studio.
And I honestly believe that, yeah, it's heavy and it's big and it can hurt. Mm-hmm. But the world is heavy and big and it can hurt all the time. And I think one of the things that makes it so that we're able to work in this space and do this particular work is that many of us, I don't know about you, but I find it a calling and a part of my life's purpose to sit in the muckety muck and be okay in it. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people feel comfortable in those spaces too. We can hold the things that hurt while remaining really human and not diminishing each other or the process. So yeah, laughter is okay. Because it's okay if you start crying about something too.
Let's take a quick break here. Kalima Young is a member of the leadership team for the Monument Quilt. Ikadu is a member of the collective Force Upsetting Rape Culture. We're talking about this weekend's display of the Monument Quilt, a quilt made of thousands of stories from survivors of rape, abuse, and intimate partner violence on the National Mall in Washington. When we're back from this break, what does the Monument Quilt demonstration mean at this moment in history? I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. This weekend, the National Mall in Washington will be blanketed by the Monument Quilt, a fabric patchwork of thousands of stories from survivors of sexual assault and abuse. How can this demonstration reduce the stigma that confronts survivors? How can supporters learn better ways to help survivors heal? I'm speaking with Kalima Young, Ph.D., a member of the leadership team for the Monument Quilt, and Ikadu, a member of the group Force, Upsetting Rape Culture. The Me Too movement has been another call to speak out against and about sexual assault. Mm-hmm. How does the quilt differ from the Me Too initiative?
The Me Too movement has been around for a very long time. It's caught some extra cultural heft in the last 2 to 3 years, but it's been something that's been around for a very long time. And throughout this process of building the quilt and doing these workshops and doing the sort of grassroots work, we have had moments where we felt very much like we should put it on the National Mall right now because the conversation is hot, right? We gotta take advantage of the wave. And then we stop and we breathe and we say, one of the things is, rape culture is a part of our culture. It is not going anywhere. if you stop using a hashtag, that doesn't mean rape has stopped either. Mm-hmm. And that if we're going to do conscientious work that captures a number of stories and works with a number of populations that are not often a part of our narratives of sexual violence, then we have to take our time. And we have to build it as a grassroots moment. And we have to represent as many stories as possible. So hold the brakes, even though the fire is hot and the conversation is happening. In order to do the deep community work that we need to do to actually address it, we have to pace it, we have to find people, and we have to work with them. So I feel like the Me Too movement and all of the cultural conversation is extremely helpful to this moment. And it elevates the conversation and it puts some faces out there. But I also know, and we all know, that sexual violence is a part of our culture and we need many more stories and many more modalities.
What does it mean to have this demonstration in the nation's capital at this moment in time?
It means kind of everything. Having this conversation elevated when it is so, there are so many obvious ways that the work that people have been doing advocating for marginalized populations, advocating for reproductive justice, advocating for immigration and justice amongst those populations, where all of these rollbacks and attacks are happening to populations that are impacted by sexual violence, to place the quilt on the National Mall at this point is a way of saying you cannot erase how important this conversation is, because the prior administration was making some moves around conversations of rape and sexual violence. And now we have a more conservative Supreme Court that's chipping away at reproductive justice. We have an immigration crisis that's not a crisis except for what has been created. And by bringing the voices of these marginalized groups right in front of the door of the people who are making these policies that are harming others, I think we're saying you can erase it and we're going to fight. You got anything to add, E?
Yeah. So you're a survivor in 2019, or you're the family member of a survivor in 2019. What options do you have to engage with this issue? A lot of people have access to the internet and are maybe doing a lot of social media surrounding it, or seeing a lot of social media surrounding it and feeling triggered and feeling confused about where to go. Or some people, a select part of the population, maybe has access to therapy, spaces of healing, but space for people to convene in person, boots on the ground, in camaraderie, in fellowship,
in community,
in community, with a sentiment of deep love and care, that's missing. And that needs to happen now.
How will you be documenting this display?
I'm part of documentation team, and documentation team is an amazing group of photographers, videographers. There will be a tent, an oral history tent, where people can go and talk about their stories. There will be an aerial photo taken of all of the quilts on the mall. There will be really a patchwork of media from what it means to be at this display.
To create a digital archive, because one of the things about arts projects, especially activist arts art projects, is that they're often very ephemeral.
Yes.
You're so much in the midst of the process that you're not documenting or keeping the things that happen. And I know that we're only going to really understand what we've just done probably, I don't know, a year from now, 3 years from now. So all of the archiving that we can do of the footage and the collecting of stories is extremely important.
And after this weekend, what will happen to the quilt?
We are thinking about the power of the quilt as this immense object. It's an immense emotional object, but it's also huge, right? It's 4 football fields. Mm-hmm. So Force is being very intentional about where the quilt is going to go next. Options that we're thinking about, mm-hmm, are seeing if a library would like to collect it, mm-hmm, and perhaps even loan it, to do a national tour of the country and gift quilt squares to organizations that are survivor-led, leading the charge on this issue all over this country.
Getting them back to the people who've actually created squares and
yes,
the workshops, because many workshops and community groups are the ones who have created a lot of the squares. And then also thinking about ways that, like the name's quilt, the quilt would be able, panels of the quilt would be able to be in display around specific moments in time in terms of the Violence Against Women Act, whenever that comes up, conversations, national conversations about rape and sexual violence.
Well, I'm grateful to you for this conversation. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having us.
Kalima Young, PhD, is a lecturer in the Department of Electronic Media and Film at Towson University and a member of the leadership team for the Monument Quilt. Yi Kadu is a member of the artist-activist collective FORCE, Upsetting Rape Culture, as well as the group's youth coordinator and artist-in-residence. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we have links to information about this weekend's display of the Monument Quilt, which begins Friday at 4 p.m. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Glad you're listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.